Now, this is tape number 3 in a series of tapes in which we are taking the difficult and archaic and seldom used words in the text of the Authorized King James Version and defining them for you from an English dictionary. After all, you would never go to a Spanish dictionary to learn the meaning of a word that you read in your daily newspaper, an English newspaper. You would never pick up the Reader's Digest and go to a Russian dictionary to find out the meaning of the word. Since the text you are reading is in English, you would always go to an English dictionary to learn the meaning of that word. Hence, as you live in the last days of the Laodicean church, where the great deception is taking hold of the body of Christ and bringing them into complete and total apostasy from the Word of God, you find men, incredibly enough, taking an English Bible and then looking for the definitions of words that they do not know and do not understand in Hebrew and Greek dictionaries. This is incredible madness and can only be recognized as such by the Bible-believing Christian who is filled with the Holy Spirit of God. We come now to a word in our study which will give us an opportunity to illustrate two things. Number one, that the Bible text is always right. And number two, that though our language may degenerate, the Scriptures have not degenerated. This is the matter of the fruit of the sycamine tree, S-Y-C-A-M-I-N-E. It is often argued by scholars and critics that this rendering is inaccurate and incorrect and should be altered because, after all, the sycamore tree does not bear any fruit. But the Bible didn't say sycamore tree, it said sycamine tree. Now, the sycamore is a French derivation spelled exactly as we have it in English, sycamore, in Latin, sycamorus. It is the fig mulberry, a fig, and the black mulberry. In Hebrew, it is sik and ma. Botanically, it is a large tree allied to the common fig. It is found in Egypt and Syria and is the sycamore of Scripture. In America, the plane tree or buttonwood is often called by this name. Thus, the tree that you probably have in your property that you call a sycamore tree is probably a plane tree or buttonwood. We have applied the term sycamore to that tree. Now, what about the sycamine as found in Luke chapter 17 and verse 6? Is this a different spelling of the sycamore? No, it's not at all. This is from the Latin sycaminus, and it is the mulberry tree. It has often been confounded by ancient and modern writers with the sycamore, but it is a different tree altogether. It is what we refer to today as the mulberry tree. You say, well, then shouldn't we change the Bible text to read the fruit of the mulberry rather than the fruit of the sycamine? No, you should just enlarge your vocabulary. Easy enough. All right, how about tabering? Tabering, T-A-B-E-R-I-N-G. What is it to taber? What is a taber? What is tabering? T-A-B-E-R. This is T-A-B-O-R-I-N-G. T-A-B-O-R-I-N-G. Now, a tabor, or a tabor, tabor, is a small drum used as an accompaniment to a pipe or a fife. And to tabor, the intransitive verb, is to play on a tabor or a little drum or to strike lightly and frequently. This is used in Nahum chapter 2 and verse 7 of taboring upon their breasts, that is, to strike lightly and frequently as one would strike a drum. All right, now another of our building terms, a tache, T-A-C-H-E. Tache is something used for tacking, holding. It is a catch, a loop, or a button, as found in the tabernacle construction in Exodus chapter 26 and verse number 6. And what about a tenon? T-E-N-O-N, tenon. A-T-E-N-O-N. A tenon is the end of a piece of wood cut into form for insertion into a cavity in another piece, called a mortise, in order to unite the two pieces. The form of a tenon is various, as square, detailed, and the like. Then we have the teraphim. T-E-R-E, teraphim, P-H-I-M, teraphim. And these teraphim in Scripture, also T-E-R-A, teraphim, these are household deities or images. The word teraphim has been literally translated nourishers by some authors and writers in their works. It seems that the plural form was used as a collective singular for the personified combination of all nourishing powers, as the plural teraphim signified a god in whom all superior powers to be revered with reverential awe are combined. The word teraphim signifies an object or objects of idolatry, as we may learn from the renderings of the corrupt Septuagint, and that it was in meaning similar to the penates, P-E-N-A-T-E-S. It seems, therefore, that they were household gods by whom families expected, in return for worship bestowed, to be rewarded with domestic prosperity. These were the teraphim. Then the word terrestrial, T-E-R-R, ter, E-S-T-R-I-A-L, terrestrial. Of or pertaining to the earth, existing on the earth, earthly, as terrestrial animals. This, of course, opposed to celestial. Then what was a tetrarch? The Bible speaks of Herod, the tetrarch, T-E-T-R-A-R, C-H, T-trarch. A tetrarch was a Roman governor of the fourth part of a province, a subordinate prince, hence any petty king or sovereign. So when the Bible speaks of Herod the tetrarch, this means that he was a lesser ruler or an under-ruler who ruled over the fourth part of the Roman Empire as it existed in that day. Then we find in the Word of God, T-H-Y-I-N-E, T-H-Y-I-N-E, thyine. Thyine is a type of wood, a precious wood mentioned in Revelation 18, probably the wood of the, and we have the scientific name, Calitrius quadrivalvus, formerly called Thuja, known to the Romans by the name signifying citron wood. This tree is a native of Barbary, allied to the pines, and is thought to produce the sandrak of commerce. So the thyine wood is a type of pine tree. It is a sweet-smelling wood, and the smell of this wood was such that the wood was often used as part of the sacrificial odors and ointments of various religious and cultic groups. Then another of our stones, this being the topaz. T-O-P-A-Z, topaz. Interesting derivation of the word from the Greek and Latin and Sanskrit, meaning the sun or to tap heat. The mineral is, it occurs in rhombic prisms, generally a yellowish and pellucid, also colorless. It is sometimes of greenish, bluish, or brownish shades, sometimes massive and opaque, consisting of silica, alumina, and fluoric acid. It is highly valued as a gem. Then we come to TOW, T-O-W. This is, of course, to pull something or to draw, but it is also found obsoletely as a tow rope, or a rope by which anything that is towed. But tow, as we find it in Scripture, is the coarse or broken part of flax or hemp, separated from the finer part by the hatchel or swingle. What about that word trow or trow? I trow not. T-R-O-W. The question was asked at such and such and such and such, and the reply was, I trow not. I trow not. T-R-O-W. Trow is simply to believe, to trust, to think, or to suppose. Trow was formerly sometimes used in the imperative as an exclamation of inquiry. For example, what means the fool, trow? Trow, to believe, to trust, to think, or to suppose. So we would say, I suppose not, I think not, I believe not, I trow not. All meaning the very same thing. All right, what about that unction that we have of the Holy One? Is that something we can carry about in our pocket? We have an unction, U-N-C-T-I-O-N, unction. We have an unction. What is it? An unction is a noun. It is the act of anointing, smearing, or rubbing with an unguent oil or ointment, especially for medical purposes. It is that which is used for anointing, hence anything soothing, hence that quality in language, address, or the like which excites emotion, especially strong devotion, religious fervor, and tenderness, sometimes simulated. So what we have when the Bible says we have an unction, that is, we have an anointing that excites our emotion to an especially strong devotion to the Word of God and to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then we find in the Bible this term to upbraid. Upbraid. Does this have anything to do with the hair, with the plaiting of the hair? Well, I don't think so. To upbraid is a transient verb. It is to charge with something wrong or disgraceful, to reproach, to cast something in the teeth of. For example, in Mark chapter 16 and verse 14, Jesus upbraided them with their unbelief. Not for their unbelief, but with their unbelief. That is, He threw it up in their face. He charged them. He reproached them with their unbelief. He took their very unbelief and presented it to them. And that was an act of reproach. That was upbraiding. Now, when a man asks something from God, asks wisdom from God, God upbraideth not. God will not take and cast that in your teeth or reproach you with that. He upbraideth not. Then we have the term vermilion, V-E-R-M-I-L-L-I-O-N, vermilion, V-E-R-M-I-L-L-I-O-N, vermilion. This is a substance consisting of sulfuret or sulfide of mercury, especially when in the form of fine powder. It is of a bright, beautiful red color and is much used as a pigment and to color wafers, sealing wax, and the like. It is sometimes found native of a red-brown color and is then called cinnabar. Vermilion is thus used for any beautiful red color, a lively and brilliant red, such as cheeks of vermilion. The color vermilion was also used for dyes. And then void, V-O-I-D. They could be interesting for us to look at this definition. We often read the word and assume that we know just exactly what it means, but what is it to be void? Void means empty, vacant, not occupied, not filled, being without, destitute, wanting, unoccupied. The earth was void and without form. What does that mean? The earth was void. It simply means the earth was present, but it was empty. It was vacant. It was not occupied. It was not filled. And one more from the list in Isaiah chapter number 3 of the things that women like to wear and the things that the Lord will take from them when He humbles them and imposes upon them His desire of shamefacedness, sobriety, and modest apparel. What is a wimple? A wimple is a covering of silk, linen, or other material laid in folds for the neck, chin, and sides of the face, formerly worn by women as an outdoor covering and still retained in the dress of nuns in conventual costume. A sort of veil or hood is a wimple. To wimple is to appear as if laid in folds or plates, to ripple, to undulate. This is a wimple or wimpling. And lastly in our study, we wot not what to think. W-O-T, wot. W-O-T, what? This is to know or to be aware. So when a man says, I wot not, he is simply saying, I know not, I am not aware. Now we had originally intended to place these studies on 4 short cassettes. Instead we used longer cassettes for the first 2 tapes. And thus we have finished our four-part study. I know it hasn't been real exciting, and yet I trust it has been helpful. I hope that you'll be able to take and put these definitions. If you're one that writes in your Bible, you can put them in the margin of the Bible. Or if not, you can put them in notes within your Bible. Or perhaps you have such a capacity mentally to actually remember and learn all the definitions. I hope that you do. Whatever you choose to do with them, I trust they've been a help to you and been a blessing to you. And what we're going to do now to finish out this tape number 3, rather than send you a tape with just, maybe a quarter of it filled, someone was by the Puritans used to think it'd be good, clean fun to pit 2 teams of horses against each other in a sled pulling contest. But they believed it sinful to pit 2 unharnessed horses against each other in a race. This fine distinction is known as straining at a gnat and swallowing a camel. The human race, as it is called, has been smart enough to come up with laws, but not smart enough to figure out what to do with the lawbreakers. Having rejected the word of God and turning to their own devices, God has made fools out of those that seek after their own wisdom rather than after the wisdom of the Word of God. They have found that jail doesn't work, flogging doesn't work, stocks don't work, hand amputation hasn't worked, The death sentence hasn't solved anything because it hasn't been carried out according to scriptural principles. The closest thing to a successful penal procedure was the old criminal colony system, where the mistake makers could start all over again in the New World, in Australia, or some other such place. Some now believe and are proposing, even in the Congress and House of Representatives, we understand, that the first permanent settlers on the next life-supporting planet, if found, will be convicts and societal rejects. Now, that's something to think about, isn't it? It explains several things. Number one, it explains in part why God destroyed one of the false gods of the American people, the space shuttle, here a few months back, because its top was not going to reach to heaven, and God was not going to allow them to build a tower whose top would reach to heaven and inhabit the stars, having already told them in Obadiah, verse number 4, that if they sought to set their nest among the stars, see the Skylab or the space shuttle or a permanent space station, that God would cast them down to the earth, which he certainly did. Now, the reason for that is that God's seen enough of the mess that's gone on here on this earth, and he's not about to let you wreck the rest of the universe like you wrecked this planet. And man in his depravity, you know what he'd do. He'd send the most depraved, desperate, societal rejects he possibly could to any new planet or any new frontier, as it's called, in order to make it as big a hellhole as he's made out of this planet. This we call evolution. This we call the upward thrust and the progress of the modern man. I'm looking forward to the day when these societal rejects are all taken out of this present evil world where they don't belong and where they do not live and where they have no permanent home or dwelling place. That is when the Lord Jesus Christ descends from heaven with a shout and takes us to a truly inhabitable part of the solar system and part of the universe. That is the sides of the north, the New Jerusalem. That's something to look forward to, isn't it? And you certainly won't need to go by way of NASA or a booster rocket or a countdown. Trees at water's edge along the Pacific coast bend inland. They also do that near where we live on the Atlantic coast. I don't know if you've ever observed it or not. The wind off the water, this is a common idea and common misconception, I might add. It's the salt. I don't understand. The salt kills all the branch buds on the westerly side, if you're at the Pacific, on the easterly side, if you're on the Atlantic. That is the new growth, the budding on the trees on the ocean side is stunted and killed by the heavy buildup of salt, which is blown by the wind. And this causes the trees to appear to be bending or growing in an inland direction. There's a law in Joliet, Illinois. It decrees that any woman who tries on more than 6 dresses in the same store can be jailed. Some of you husbands probably think that's a good law. You know that little chill that you get sometimes when you feel like somebody looking over your shoulder? They used to say when we were children, somebody walked over your grave. That's said to be a deeply ingrained defense mechanism that goes back to man's beginnings. The kid who comes up behind another kid and says, boo, is said by the psychologists and sociologists to be playing a game using a basic human instinct that one is afraid of being caught from behind. It's the same as a child's game once played by the Old West characters in the movies who would never sit with his back to the door. Scientists are at a loss to explain this strange instinctive behavior on the part of the human animal. Well, those of us that have the Word of God, we're always ahead of science, philosophy, and psychology by about 2,000 years. We've read the account of Genesis chapter 3, and we know the reason why man feels like somebody's looking over his shoulder is because somebody is. That is, the Lord God Almighty sees everything you're doing. He even sees into your heart to judge and discern the intents and motives of the human heart. He not only knows what you're doing, but why you're doing it. Don't look to science for the answers. You'll have to go to the Word of God. Question. Where did we get the phrase, slower than molasses in January?
Ever hear that old expression? Cliche. Well, nobody knows for sure, but this is an interesting story. Molasses was fatally fast rather than slow on January 15, 1919, in Boston, Massachusetts. A tank containing 2.5 million gallons of molasses collapsed. 21 people drowned in it. 40 more people were injured. You know, you may die in perfect health, but it's the point another man wants to die, and after this, the judgment. There's all kind of ways to leave this world, physically. But there are only two ways to leave this world spiritually. Either saved or unsaved. Infants born to mothers who smoke cigarettes weigh less at birth, have more serious illnesses than infants born to non-smoking mothers. And by the way, alcohol cools the body rather than warming it. The warm sensation that you feel upon drinking alcohol on a cold day is heat leaving the body. You can expect fair weather if you see cobwebs on the grass. Many is the seasoned citizen and farmer, country dweller, who believes that and knows it's true without remembering why it's true. Well, it's simply that you can't see the cobwebs unless dew forms, and dew won't form unless there's fair weather. So I better turn on the TV tonight and check the news, see what the weather's going to be. Why don't you check God's creation? And no commercials, and it doesn't run up your light bill. Magpies hold funerals. When one magpie dies, the others ceremoniously fly over. Each one in turn swoops down and pecks one time at the dead one. It seems strange and rather macabre, but there's a purpose. Those who study birds, these bird brains, we call them, those who study birds say that the ritual resets the pecking order of the flock. The female lobster, I don't know what this is worth, the female lobster is fertile only 6 hours a year. I guess you could relate that somehow to Eve having multiplied sorrow and multiplied conception. And white shrimp feed by day and pink shrimp feed by night. I guess that saves overcrowding in the restaurants or something. Why do owls fly silently? This is rather fascinating, how the Lord provides for his creatures. Now, I don't know if you've ever lived anywhere where people shrimp. We're in a very large shrimping area where I live. One of the largest facets of the local economy is shrimping. We have fleets of shrimp boats that go offshore and gather the shrimp, and then we have others who, in the river, in very small boats, do shrimping. And it's rather fascinating to me how the Lord provided that certain shrimp would be active one time of the day, certain shrimp would be active at another time of the day, to ensure adequate provision for each of the varieties. Now, owls, they have to feed on rodents and small land mammals and such, capturing them in the nighttime. And it's very essential to them that they be able to fly and swoop down upon their prey silently. So what the Lord did, he feathered their wingtips with down so as to ensure there would be no sound and no noise as they flew. Young sloths, slothful men are spoken of throughout the Word of God, young sloths are so inept that they sometimes think their own arms are tree limbs and grab hold of them and come crashing down to the forest floor. Experienced jungle hunters say the tiger always kills from behind. If it sees you looking at it. If you can fall face up so that you can look straight at a tiger, it will not kill you. Prove it. You prove it. I'll take the word of an experienced veteran on that one. One out of every 30 million lobsters is bright blue. You can take that or leave it. I don't know who counted 30 million lobsters. I suppose those that catch them make estimates of the same. A pure scientist. You want to know what the definition is of pure scientist? You talk about science falsely so-called. A pure scientist is one who studies a disease nobody has. That's kind of like a preacher preaching about unsaved folks on how to live the Christian life, or preaching to a bunch of saved folks about getting saved every Sunday morning. If a boxer fought the way a swan fights, he'd be disqualified for throwing elbows. But did you know that the blow of a swan's wing could break a grown man's arm? Like I say, you take that or leave it. I'm not going to mess with a tiger, and if a swan can break my arm, I won't mess with a swan either. Now, I don't know if you knew this or not, but burglars don't mind you having a dog if it's a choice between a dog and a goose. A watchdog will attack straight away and can be killed or silenced easily, but geese, squalling mightily, if you've ever had a goose, not really any sound in the world that can duplicate it. They zigzag in all directions. Burglars can't catch them, and they can't shut them up. In fact, the ancient Romans used geese as sentries. They didn't keep any soldiers up on guard at night. They kept geese with them, and they certainly did the job. Who was the first convicted murderer in the United States? So I don't know. I wonder how long the land of the free and the home of the brave lasted before there was a murder. Well, how about Pilgrim John Billington? He was hanged for the ambush shooting of Pilgrim John Newcomen before the United States became the United States in 1630. You've read that alligators swallow rocks to balance their bodies with their tails. Maybe you hadn't read that. You know what? They didn't learn that in a book, and they didn't go to school to learn that. God Almighty had to teach them that. I'll tell you what else he did. He taught the cormorant to swallow stones so they can dive more deeply in pursuit of fish. Sea lions also swallow rocks, but nobody knows why. The modern way to do things is by use of euphemisms. For example, your new Bibles changed damnation to judgment. Hospital reports are now substituting a euphemism, which they feel is a better term, for the word death. After all, there's nothing that the modern man hates to talk about any more than real death. He doesn't mind murder. He watches about 10 to 15 of them on TV every night. He doesn't mind killing, torture. He'll pay his money to see a movie where those things go on. But he doesn't like the term death. Because, after all, that's what the Bible says is waiting for him. So hospitals now use the term negative patient care outcome. You're dead, whatever they call it, brother. You better be ready to meet the Lord. To Muslims, Jews are Gentiles. I didn't know if you knew that or not. In fact, there's another group that also refers to Jews as Gentiles. And those are the Mormons. The Mormons, interestingly enough, claim that their lineage is from the tribe of Ephraim. And some will, if they suspect you don't know anything about the Word of God, will actually go so far as to try and make you think that they are the Jews of the Old Testament. If this is so, it's very interesting because Hosea tells us that Ephraim has joined the idols, let him alone. And here's something you can do once you've stared down a tiger and walked away. The way to kill an elephant is to run underneath it and jab it in the bladder with a short spear. At least that's how the young African pygmy has done it traditionally through the centuries to prove his courage. That proves it all right because the frenzied elephant spins, trunk swinging, going for a wipeout and then crashing to the ground and dying in writhing anguish and agony. Still, Africa has lost more elephants than pygmies in this ritual. So, if you ever up against an elephant, well, now here's something you can use. Among the wild dogs of Africa, one dominant female runs the pack, driving away all the other grown females. She lets several males hang around, though, to take care of the pups. And they do, for fear of the female. You sure do have a lot of men and women in America living like wild African dogs these days, don't you? Matter of fact, I've been in some churches sound about like that. One dominant female running the pack and letting several males hang around. Yeah, it sounds about right. Every day, you talk about the gods of the people are vain. Every day are sold at least 5 million things that in some way depict Mickey Mouse. Did you ever read about the ancient Philistines back in 1 Samuel who had as one of their gods mice? Oh, well, we don't worship Mickey Mouse as a god. No, you just buy 5 million things a day that depict Mickey Mouse, and I dare you speak against him. I just dare you. You don't think Mickey Mouse is a god of the American people? I just dare you to speak against him. Go on, try it. The whorl on the forehead of a horse, W-H-O-R-L, the whorl on the forehead of a horse, is as unique as a human fingerprint. I guess that just worked out in the evolutionary process. There's only one animal in all God's creation that grows spiral teeth. Can you name it? It's the narwhal. The Navajo Indians used to call coyotes God's dog because of its supreme intelligence. How many people of retirement age in this country are getting divorced these days? This is a rather fascinating statistic. How many people of retirement age in this country, United States of America, are getting divorced these days? About 10,000 a year. More than five times that many are getting married. Very few for the first time. You say, why is that? Love is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. If you're an unsaved man or woman, you do not have the Holy Spirit of God and therefore cannot bear the fruit of the Holy Spirit, which is love. And without love, there's nothing to bind and to hold two people together. Sad day. 10,000 divorces each year in the United States among those of retirement age. You've seen the policeman out alongside of the road with a radar device for detecting and catching speeders. But some speeders now have radar detectors. But that's certainly nothing new. A bat has sonar to catch moths. But some moths have sonar detectors. Ears that are able to sense a bat's sonar and thus prompt these moths to take evasive action. It's remarkable what God Almighty has worked into His creation, isn't it? How often do you suppose in a Christian nation like ours, talk about falsely so-called, how often do you suppose that a child murders a parent in this country? Suppose I told you 400 times a year. 400 times a year. 35 times a month, more than once a day in the United States of America, a child murders a parent. I tell you, that'll make you weep. Every nation that forgets God be turned into hell. Amen? You know what a great horned owl does? Rolls its eyes. Scientists claim it's an expression of disbelief, just like that of a human being. A bear has no collarbone. Let's see what else we got here. A man's always been pretty impressed by himself and his ability. And yet the Word of God says there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And there's one thing the Bible points out very clearly. It's that man is very easily deceived, illustrated by the fact that in blind taste tests, and not necessarily blind people, but people who are tasting without seeing, most people pick artificial flavors over natural flavors. Upon learning the outcome of the test, the people usually are very irritated and angry because they want to prefer natural foods. And if asked beforehand if they prefer natural foods to artificial foods, the vast majority claim to prefer natural foods. Well, most people tell you they're Christian, won't they? And you don't have to be too smart to inject yourself intravenously. Laboratory baboons have been taught to do the same thing. You say, that proves that man came up from a baboon. No, maybe it proves the baboon came up from a man. I like that. The tip of the rhino's horn is sort of like the chin of a glass-jawed boxer. If you hit it just right, you got yourself a knockout. A few downed rhinos have been found to have no bullet wounds other than a tiny nick on the tip of their horn. For some reason, this causes such extreme pain and nerve damage that it actually kills a rhinoceros. So you can just have yourself a field day. They make one of those Walt Disney Incredible Adventure movies out of you. You stare down a tiger and then stab an elephant in the bladder and then punch a rhino in the horn and knock him dead. In India lived the Jain religionist, J-A-I-N, Jain religionist. They keep up insect shelters. Now, I'm not kidding. Now, listen. These are sealed rooms loaded with sufficient grain to feed the insects for 10, maybe 15 years until the said insect naturally died. The Jain insects appear to get a better break than most of the human beings in India. This marvelous testimony to the folly of man in his way of thinking is because the Jain religionists, of course, believe in reincarnation, and those insects and those bugs might be some of their ancestors working their way up, which has always prompted those of us who are Bible believers to say, if you love Grandma and Grandma's a cockroach, why don't you stomp on her and hope she makes out better the next time around? Stand next to an Egyptian pyramid, and you're closer to the top of that pyramid in relation to your size than a termite is in relation to its size to the top of the hill it builds for a home. Quite a building project, you know that? God made that little thing mighty strong and powerful. A venomous snake can strike out over a distance equal to a third of its body length, and it never tries to strike any farther. Now, how you figure that? You figure all venomous snakes know how long they are? Or do you figure that when man sinned against God, he lost his inborn wisdom and knowledge? And as a result of that, man has to marvel at the creatures round about him and talk about instinct and the evolutionary learning process rather than just admitting the fact that if he hadn't sinned against God, he wouldn't be the stupidest creature on the planet. And that all the creatures that did not rebel against God Almighty still have the God-given wisdom and make out quite well. Thank you. Miniaturization and circuitry. That's a big deal nowadays in our technical society, all its learning, advancement. But there are more than 50,000 nerve fibers that go into your pituitary gland alone, a gland that is no bigger than a pea. You're fearfully and wonderfully made, my friend. A pig never overeats. You ever heard the expression, the pig out? It ought to mean to man out. And no pig in the world that will overeat. A pig will eat just enough to be full and then walk away. One out of every 9 Colombians is estimated to be addicted to cocaine. Suicide ranks 8th in U.S. death causes as of the present time. That is out of every body that died. They keep records on how they died. And the only 7 ways to die, I'm talking about forms of death now, causes of death, heart attack, disease, automobile accident, etc. Suicide ranks 8th in the United States of America. The most wealthy, affluent society in the world, with all its pleasure, all its fun, and all its things to do. But you know, without the Lord Jesus Christ, you just don't have any life. You don't remember things as well when you're cold. Now listen to this. This will help you, those of you that study the Bible and memorize the Scripture. You don't remember as well when you're cold. University of California researchers did a study. I wish somebody would pay me to do one of these studies sometime. Their tests suggests that chilling temperatures impair recall. When exposed to extreme cold, subjects lost short-term memory, forgetting even the simplest instructions. So if you're wise, what you do, you get up in the morning to read your Bible, you make sure your feet are warm and your hands are warm, and put a cap on your head or something, make sure you're good and warm. And you remember longer if the study is accurate. I've been up around 2.5 minutes, I think. That's about as long as I've ever been able to do so underwater, I'm speaking about. I don't know on land. I don't know that you'd want to try it. How long can you hold your breath? Some hibernating turtles hold their breath all winter. Amazing, isn't it? Can anybody prove that professional prize fights, boxing, wrestling, karate, judo, lead to violence in the street. It is now known that the national homicide rate rises by 12.46% during the 3 days right after a heavily publicized prize fight, or about 11 killings per fight. In our advanced modern civilized society, I might add. Someone asked where the term "God bless you," which is uttered after a sneeze, originated. You can credit Pope Gregory with that one. The fellow that messed up your calendar so you wouldn't know what year it was. In AD 590, Rome was swept with a plague marked by fits of sneezing. The Pope decreed that Dios te benedicia be spoken when anyone showed sign of the affliction, and the habit and practice is continued to this day. You know, it's funny how men are willing and anxious to carry out God's laws when they don't apply to them. In 1916, an elephant named Mary was hanged for murder in the town of Irvin, Tennessee, after the elephant went into a rage and stomped its trainer to death. What if the elephant had a good lawyer and got a fair trial? I wonder if the courts gave her a reprieve or a stay of execution. I wonder if she pled insanity and got to live on death row for 40 years in an air-conditioned cell with a gymnasium and color TV and washers and dryers. No, I doubt it. They hung the elephant that didn't have any sense, but the man who had sense enough to plan out a premeditated murder of six young college girls can get a stay of execution and live quite nicely, thank you, at taxpayers' expense. A growing mushroom can push its way through 3 inches of concrete. Asphalt. There is quite a difference. A growing mushroom can push its way through 3 inches of asphalt. Maybe you didn't know this. You better watch out. You've gotten by the tiger, and you've gotten by the elephant, and you've taken care of the rhinoceros. But did you know that a hippopotamus can run faster than you can? And a hippopotamus bite is almost always fatal. Of course, because of the size of the bite and the pressure exerted by those massive jaws. How do you like to have a hippopotamus chasing you down? Elephants trumpet, roar, and even bark. They also communicate with a rumbling noise. It's been recorded on a scientific instrument. Too deep for the human ear to hear, but the elephant's noise, most intriguing, is one that you don't read much about. An elephant will fill its trunk with air and thump it on the ground, making a noise almost like a massive Jew's harp. Boing, boing, boing. you missed that one on Marlon Perkins, I guess. No known group of animals besides man uses fire, and no known tribe of man does not use fire. Now, that's a strange thing, isn't it? When you figure that only man of all God's creatures is bound for a lake of fire. But in his pride and rebellion, he takes on the characteristics of his father, the devil, whom the Bible says in the book of Job, chapter 40 and 41, has no fear. You can say for a fact that if you group the robbers, the United States of America, again, citing the source book of criminal justice statistics, United States government, if you group the robbers into those with knives and those with guns. Now listen to this. They're trying to take your guns away from you in America. Can't defend yourself. And they're saying, oh, you know, the criminals use the guns. You can say for a fact that if you group the robbers into those with knives and those with guns, those with knives draw far more blood than those with guns and use them many times more frequently. How important is the opposable thumb in the evolution of the human being? This is the terminology of the modern ignoramus who calls himself a scientist. Well, the possum has opposable thumbs. I mean, why waste your money on a college education when you're going to come out as dumb as the man teaching the course? I've had physical science and I've had biology at a second year college level. I've had anthropology. I've studied the humanities. And I know what they teach you in college. I've got a college degree and two subjects. And should have one and a third, but I got sick of it and quit. And I've studied it for colleges and universities in the United States of America. And I know what the line is. The line is the opposition digit, the opposable thumb, enabled man to evolve above all the, you know, blah, 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 blah. You know the routine. Well, a possum's got an opposable thumb. Reckon how come he's still in the persimmon tree instead of teaching at Yale, Harvard, or Columbia. Taxidermists who claim to know something about their field. Many generations ago, they stitched the heads of little monkeys to the bodies of big fish. And they sold them as genuine preserved mermaids. And did they ever clean up? You know, people are funny, aren't they? They believe just about anything but the truth. Now, let me say quickly, this has just been a tape full of illustrations, but these tapes, it's just amazing what the Lord has done. We're receiving letters literally from all around the world, people requesting tapes and then getting them and passing them from person to person to person. We don't know where this tape will end up. So let me just say this right quickly before it runs out. You're a sinner. And if you die in your sins, you're bound for a lake of fire because God Almighty will never tolerate the presence of sin in the glory of heaven. But God didn't want you in hell. He wanted you to repent and trust His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as your personal Savior. He proved His love to you by sending the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, to die on Calvary's cross to pay for your sins. And 3 days and three nights later, He rose from the dead. He is living right now at the right hand of God the Father. And if you will from your heart believe that Christ died for your sins and rose again, and will call upon Him from a sincere and believing heart, trusting Him and Him alone as the Savior of your soul, the Bible has said that God will give to you as a free gift life everlasting. Will you believe that and claim it for yourself? I trust that you will. What was the